B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Mem Tes. We're going to start three lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Ches Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, Marovo Yishalmayim Chulu, and the Gemara here is taking us back to the Mishnah. That the Mishnah told us that they would tell the person, the Kohen, who was pouring the water with the Nisuch HaMayim, is pouring the water during the Yom Tov of Sukkos, whilst they were offering up the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar, they would say to him, Hag Beyotcha, lift up your hand so that we can see that you're pouring the water into the bowls positioned there on top of the corner of the Mizbeach, and not that you're just pouring it out on the feet, on your feet, and not in the right place. Shepam Echod, Niseich Echod Al Gabi Raglov, there was this tzaduki that once poured the water onto his feet, and the entire nation stoned him with their esregim. That's what it says in the Mishnah. The Gemara is taking us back there and saying, and is now going to elaborate on that. Tanu Rabbanon. There was once an incident with a tzaduki who was one of the kofrim, the heretics. They didn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh. They just said whatever it doesn't say explicitly in the Chumash doesn't exist. And since Nisuch HaMayim is not explicitly written in the Chumash, they undermined it. Shenisich al gabi raglo, so he was a kohen, he had to do his job. He went up on the Mizbeach with the water, and he just poured it onto his feet. And the entire nation stoned him with their esregim. That day, the keren hamizbeach, the corner, what we call the corner, it's a horn-type corner protruding on the four corners at the top of the mizbeach. It was nifgamo, it became damaged, it became dented. And Rashi adds in here, from the stones, even though in the Brice it mentions they stoned him with esregim, but it's Rashi says, alidei avonim shezorku boy, they obviously thrown some stones at him, and the mizbeach got dented. Ve'iviu bul shel melech, they brought a fistful of salt, v'sasmu, and they blocked up, they covered up the hole, the dent in the mizbeach. But the Brice is making it clear. That doesn't mean that because they just covered over the hole with some salt, that the Mizbeach was rendered fit for the Avoida. No. They just did that because it was disrespectful for the Mizbeach to appear as if it had a dent, and it really did have a dent. So the truth is that the Mizbeach was posel, and it had to be properly repaired, and the stone replaced, but in the meantime, it looked whole. And from where do we see that all the while that it's got a dent and it hasn't been repaired appropriately, that the avoida is posel? Shekol mizbeach she'ein loy, any mizbeach which doesn't have loy kevesh, it doesn't have the ramp, or of a loy keren, or one of the corners are missing. That means one of the protruding corners are missing. V'lo yasoid, or the base is missing. The base was an amma by amma ledge, the lowest part of the mizbeach that was sticking out, an amma on each side, those sides that had a yasoid, that was the base of the mizbeach. V'lo yiribua, and if it was missing the ribua, which is the mizbeach had to be square, and if the mizbeach was not completely and exactly square, then it was posel. Pasul la'avoida, you're not allowed to work on it. And this is learnt out from Psukim, and the Gemara and other places in Shas elaborates on this. Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda says that even the soiviv, and we've already learnt about this a little bit earlier on, that the Mizbeach had a one amma high yesoid, a base, and then there was five ammas of wall, and then there was again, like a step, it went inwards, and then there was another three ammas high, and that was took you to the nine ammas off the ground, which was the top of the Mizbeach, and then beyond that, on each corner, there was a cubic amma corner, a type of a horn, a corner that was sticking out, a keren. Rabbi Yosi says that if the soiviv, if there wasn't that ledge in the middle of the Mizbeach, then the Mizbeach is posel. And again, Rashi brings here the Gemaros in other places in Shas that discusses where this is learnt out from and what's the Machlokes, Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi regarding the Soiviv. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chona Omar Rabbi Yochanan. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And now we're going to discuss a little bit the Shisin, which is where the wine all year round and the water over Sukkos was poured into. We're going to learn these Sukkos according to Rashi, Mirat Hashem. And Rashi, as we've already seen, that were two bowls on the corner of Dorim and Meiriv of the Mizbeach. At the top, there were two holes there. And there were two bowls there. And those bowls had the mouth and opening of the bowls at the top, which is where the wine and water was poured into. And then there was a spout at the bottom of the pot, at the bottom of these bowls, a spout that came out and poured the wine or water onto the side or onto the top of the Mizbeach. From there, it flowed into a hole at the top of the Mizbeach that went right down into a cavity under the Mizbeach called the Shisin. And the question is now, exactly how that worked, what happened here. Did the Shisin, that means this area which received the wine and the water deep down, was that a type of a basin, a type of a container that was contained and held its contents? Or did it go right down to the Tohoim, possibly translated as the abyss, but right down to the depths where anything that went down there was never to be retrieved? So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Shisin, Misheshis Imei Bereshis Nivru, Hashem created them. In the first week of creation was this receptacle, or this cavity to hold the wine and to receive the wine and the water, and the hole, or whatever it was, leading right down, all that was created during the 6 days of creation. Shenemer, as it says in a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the pasuk goes, Mayofu po'amayich bana'olim bas nodiv. We're going to learn more about that part of the pasuk later. Chamukei yirichayich, which is your concealed, the flanks, it's like a person's flanks, and kamoi chaloim, like jewels, Maisa Yudei Omon, it's the handiwork of a craftsman, obviously referring to Hashem, which means that this wasn't a man-created place to receive the wine and the water. It was created by Hashem in the 6 days of creation. So the Gemara says, what are these chamukei yirichayich, which the term used in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim is your concealed flanks? What is that? Elu Hashisim. This is actually referring to these two shisim, which were compared to the concealed flanks of a person. It was the hollow space under the Mizbeach, which was directly below where these bowls were at the top of the Mizbeach, where the wine and water would flow into. And the word chamukei means that it's concealed because it's underneath the Mizbeach, it was concealed, and Yerechayich, the flanks, and this is referring to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is called the concept of Yerech, Yerech HaMizbeach, and that's why the Gemara says Chamukei Yerechayim, Yerechayich is alluding to the Shisin. Kamoi Chaloim, these Shisim, they were compared, the Pasuk says, Kamoi Chaloim, like jewels. What does that mean? Shemuchulolim v'yirdim adatohim. That they are hollowed, and this place, these shisim, are hollowed and go down all the way to the tohim. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan, the shisim went right down to the tohim, to the depths. Ma'isa yidei omon, and the pasuk says that these were the handiwork of a craftsman. Zuma'isa yidei umnusoi shlakadosh baruch hu. This is Hashem's, so to speak, handiwork. He created it. It was not created by man. That's how Rabbi Yochanan learns, and we're soon going to see in the Gemara that there's another opinion that says that it didn't go all the way down to the Tohim, it was just a cavity under the Mizbeach, which received the wine and the water. Obviously, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the wine and water that was put onto the Mizbeach was never to be retrieved. You couldn't go under the Mizbeach and actually retrieve that wine or water, because it went right down to the time. According to the later opinions, we're going to see that it is possible to go down and to actually empty out this cavity, because if not, it's going to get full and overflow and you won't be able to pour anything more into it. We'll see about that soon. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. In the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned a brisa that from the very first word of the pot of the Torah, Bereshis, the word Bereshis can be rearranged. Al Tikri Bereshis, read it as Elo Boro Shis. that Hashem created the shisim, which are this hollow that went right down that received the wine and the water. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Yosi Omer, shisim mechulolin, these hollowed out, shisim, they were yoredim ad ha-tohim, they went right down to the tohim. Shenemar, says in the Pasuk, and bring your Pasuk in Yeshaya. The Pasuk says, Oshiro no liyedidi shiras doidi lekarmoy, which is that the Pasuk is saying that the Novi is on behalf of Hashem, which is, that's what it means, liyedidi, yedid is a dear one, referring to Hashem. Oshiro no, the Novi is saying, I will sing on behalf of Hashem, so to speak. I'm going to sing what Hashem, the Yedidi, would have wanted to sing regarding his vineyard, Likarmoy, regarding his vineyard. Oshiro no Yedidi Shiras Doidi, the song of my beloved one of Hashem, Likarmoy, concerning his vineyard, which is alluding to, we'll soon see what it's alluding to. And the apostle continues, Kerem Hoyoli, Kerem Hoyoli Yedidi, Yedidi, my beloved one, referring to Hashem, had a vineyard, Bekeren Ben Shemen, in a corner of a very fertile corner, which is going to be referring to Eretz Yisrael. Vayaz Kehu, and he encircled it, Vayasaklehu, and he cleared it from stones, Vayitoehu, and he planted it, Soyrek, with very high quality shoots, Vayiven Migdol Basoichoi, and he built a tower in it. Vegam Yekev Chotzav Boy. A Yekev is a wine vat, which is this a type of something, a cavity in which the wine was collected. Vegam Yekev Chotzav Boy. In this Migdal, which we'll soon see what it's alluding to, but in this Migdal, in this tower that he built, he dug out a wine vat. That's a pasuk in Yeshaya. And now the Gemara is going to explain, this is obviously referring to Hashem, that Hashem, he was on behalf of Hashem, he was saying as follows. What was Hashem doing? And he was doing this in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael was the Keren Ben Shemen, was this very fertile corner of the world. And what was he doing there? Vayitoehu, he was planting. Vayitoehu, soirik, he planted these shoots. What was that? Ze Beis HaMikdash. That's the Beis HaMikdash which Hashem planted in Eretz Yisrael. And the same way as when you plant something, you just plant the roots, you put it into the ground, and that's the root of everything that's going to grow, so too the roots of Klal Yisrael, and what's going to eternally keep the Klal Yisrael connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Beis HaMikdash. Even Migdal Basaychai, and in it Hashem built a tower. What's that? Ze Mizbeach. That was the Mizbeach. Vegam Yekev Chotzav Boy, that in the Mizbeach, He dug out, so to speak, under the Mizbeach, a cavity, he dug out something which is compared to a pit, and compared to a wine vat. Elu Hashisin, these are the Shisim that Hashem dug out under the Mizbeach. Now what does it mean when it says Vayaz Kehu? When Hashem gave Klal Yisrael, Karmoy the vineyard, Klal Yisrael of the Kerem, and Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, which is the Keren Ben Shemen, Vayaz Kehu, and he encircled it. Rashi says he built cities that were walled and protected cities in Eretz Yisrael. Vayisaklehu, when Hashem cleared it away from stones, it means he cleared out all the other nations from Eretz Yisrael so that those other nations should not influence Klal Yisrael negatively. So continues the Gemara Tanya. Omer Rablozer Bereb Tzadik. Rablozer Bereb Tzadik is going to have a different understanding about what these shisim were in contrast and arguing with Rabbi Yochanan. Rablozer Bereb Tzadik said as follows: Lul Kotten, there was a little space. Hoya Bein Kevesh Le Mizbeach. There was a little space between the ramp of the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach. B'marovo Yishel Kevesh, on the Meirav side of the ramp, there was a little hole there, a little space there. V'achas l'shivim shonu, that means there was an opening that you could actually go down and enter the area where the wine and the oil, where the wine and the, wine and the water was going through, was going down from. And va'achas l'shivim shana, once in 70 years, the pirchei kohuna, the youth of the kohanim, yeridim l'sham, they would go into this small lul cotton, to this small space, and they would go down in there, umlaktim misham, and they would collect from there, yayin korosh, the congealed wine. Shadoyim le'igule dvele, it was like congealed, and it was similar to a cake of pressed figs. And that's what the wine was there, congealed. They would go down there, remove the congealed wine that was put down, that had been poured there over the whole year. A lot of wine had been poured there. Most korbonis needed wine to be poured when it was being offered on the mizbeach. Uboyin, and they would take, the kohanim would take this wine, the congealed wine, was sofenoise bekdusha, and they would burn it inside the azara, not outside the azara. It would be burnt inside the azara. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, and we'll have to soon see, well, the Gemara is going to explain what we learn from this pasuk, but the pasuk says, "Bakodesh haseich," pour the wine in the kodesh, in the azara, "Nesech sheichor lashem," a pouring of sheichor, which is wine, something that is able to intoxicate, and pour it lashem for Hashem. And this is the revius yain lakeva so echod, which the pasuk is talking about. And what we learn from there, we'll soon see how. Keshem shenisuchoi b'kdusha, in the same way as pouring the wine had to be done in the azara, obviously it was done on the top of the mizbeach, kach shevasei b'kdusha, so too when you burn it, you have to burn it a b'kdusha. And at this point in time, Rashi explains this, all we've learned and seen is that somehow in this pasuk we see that the pouring has to be b'kodesh haseich, pour it in kodesh, meaning in the azara on the mizbeach. And therefore, we're going to soon see how, but you learn that also you have to burn it. If and when you burn it in the azara. But we don't have a pasuk to tell us that there's actually a mitzvah or a chiyuv to go down there and remove the congealed wine, because it would go without saying, it would almost be logical that you have to go down there and empty out this cavity, because if not, it's going to just get full. So that's logic. We need a pasuk to say that when you remove the congealed wine, what do you do with it? You burn it in the azara. That's how Rashi explains this here. So the Gemara says, "My mashma." This was Rish Lakish. No, we're not up to Rish Lakish yet, sorry. So my mashma, where do you see in this pasuk that you have to burn it b'kdusha? Omer Ravina, Ravina says that Asya Kodesh Kodesh, you learned it from Gzeir Shava, that in this pasuk it says, "Bakodesh Hasich," that you should pour it in the kodesh. And there's another pasuk, "Uchsiv Hasam," and it says regarding Noisar, the parts of the korbonis that are left out beyond the time within which they have to be eaten. And it says in the pasuk that you have to, "Vesorafto es ha-noisar ba'esh lo ye'ochil ki kodeshu." You have to burn the noisar, and ki kodeshu is called kodesh. So we learn kodesh, kodesh. So in the same way as kodesh by noisar has to be burnt, and where is noisar burnt? At least kochi kochim is burnt inside the azara. So too the wine, when it's burnt, the wine has to be burnt. Where does it be burnt? It has to be burnt in the azara. Continues the Gemara. So now we've seen two opinions. We saw one opinion that Rabbi Yochanan says that the shisin went right down to the tohoim. Mechulolim v'yeridim ad ha-tohoim. And then we had a Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok who says, no, he says there was a cavity that was underneath the Mizbeach, and they would go there and empty it every so often. Clearly, the wine and the water was not going down to the Tohoim. If it went down to the Tohoim, there's nothing to get blocked, and there's nothing to go down and to empty. So now we're asking, Kaman Oz Lahor D'Tanya, the following Mishnah, who is it? Which idea is it following? What does it say in the Mishnah, in Me'ilah? Nesachim, that these Nesachim that are poured on the Mizbeach, bitchila, from the time that they are made into Hekdash, moyalin ben. If somebody uses them and has benefit from them, then he's transgressed the halachas of Me'ilah. He's betrayed the Kedusha of these Nesachim, of these libations, these things that are going to be poured on the Mizbeach, and the halachas of Me'ilah is not good. We don't need to discuss them now. It's the whole Masechta, Masechas Me'ilah. that discusses the details. But they are subject to the Issa of Me'ilah from Mitchila, from when they are made Hekdesh. Mo'elin Bohen, Yorudu L'Shisim, once they've gone down into the Shisim, Ein Mo'elin Bohen, then the Me'ilah no longer applies to them. So the Gemara is now saying, Leima Reb Elazar Reb Tzadoki, if the Mishnah has to tell us that Me'ilah doesn't apply, that means it must be possible, at least theoretically, that you could have benefit from it. And then you need the Mishnah to say whether there is or isn't Me'ilah. The Rabbonon, according to the Rabbonon, Hanoch Sululu Tahim, according to the Rabbonon, the Shisim go right down to the Tahim, to the depths, and there's no concept of Me'ilah there because you can't get to it. Me'ilah is just, if somebody were to go down there and have benefit from the wine that's being poured there, then the Mishnah has to tell us that there's no Me'ilah. We have to understand why, we'll soon see, but there's no Me'ilah. But if it's going down to the Tahim, then the Mishnah, it would be a superfluous statement. Says the Gemara, no. Afilatema Rabbonon. Even the Rabbonon who say that the wine and the water gets poured right down to the Tahim, nonetheless, there's still room for the Mishnah to say that there's no Me'ilah. Why? Bid'iklit, which means if somebody were to go down there whilst it was being poured, and before the wine reaches and goes right down to the Tahoim, he sticks out a container and catches the wine as it's falling in and would drink it or do something with it, then theoretically there could be Me'ilah. Even though it's going to go down to the Tahoim, and once it's in the Tahoim, there's nothing you can do with it anymore, that you can't go and get it, but on the way down, you could. And that's what you need the Mishnah to tell us. Ein mo'elin boy. That you have not transgressed, or you will not be subject to all the halachas of Me'ilah. That's one version. Ve'ikah de'omra. There's another version that says that leima rabbonon hi. On the contrary, we want to bring proof that it's the rabbonon and not Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok. V'lo Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok. Di Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok. According to Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok, akata b'kdushosai hu kaimi. According to the Rabbonon, the wine is poured right down to the Tahoim. It's poured right down to the Tahoim. Tahoim, that's it. That means there's no process. There's nothing you're going to do after it's poured. So even if somebody were to go and catch the wine, the mitzvah's been done. Nasis mitzvosai. And therefore, it's not called Tzeirach Kavaya. There's no more use anymore for Hekdesh. And therefore, there's no Me'ilah. According to Rabbonon, we can understand that. But according to Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok, no. According to Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok, you haven't finished the Avodah yet. You're pouring it now. But at some point in time, you're actually going to take out the wine, because according to Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok, there's no Tahoim there. It's just being collected. At some point, it's going to be removed and burnt. And that's going to be the end of the Avodah. So all the while that this congealed wine or the wine is not going to be burnt, you're still in the process. It's still Tzeirach Kavaya. There's still something we're going to do for Hekdesh and with Hekdesh with this. We're going to burn it. So it's still in the process. If it's still in the process, it's still called Tzeirach Kavaya. If it's Tzeirach Kavaya, then how can you say that there's no more Me'ilah? Of course there should still be Me'ilah. And some say that from here it would seem that the understanding of Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok was not if you take it out, then you have to burn it. No, it would seem there's a mitzvah to take it out and a chiyuv to take it out, and you've only really terminated your avodah with this wine when you've taken it out and burnt it. It's not that, like we said before, that you only need a pasuk to tell us where to burn it and that you have to burn it, but before Rashi said there was no source that there's a mitzvah to burn it, according to Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok, there's actually, we have to burn it. It's part of the avodah. And Rashi actually, when he speaks out the Gzeir Shava, he speaks that out, that there's a mitzvah to burn it. Okay, but don't want to get confused now with the opinions. You can look in the Aruch Ner, but the Gemara is saying here, according to Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok, how would we understand the Mishnah, there's no Me'ilah? Why should there be no Me'ilah? Says the Gemara, no, afilo teimer Reb Elazar. It could even be Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok. Ve'ein lecha dovo shenasis mitzvosei u'me'elin boi. It's true that at some time later on, you're going to remove the wine and you're going to burn it. But the mitzvah, the main mitzvah, pour it into the bowls on top of the mizbech and let the wine flow out into that cavity. Then you've finished your mitzvah. As soon as you've done with it what you've been told to do with it, then there's no more me'ilah. That's called nasis mitzvosei. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says that Bizman Shemenaschim Yain al Gabi Mizbeach. at the time when they would pour the wine on the Mizbeach, we said that there was a hole on top of the Mizbeach that the wine would pour out onto the Mizbeach, and then it would pour out from the spout at the bottom of the bowl onto the Mizbeach, and from there it would fall or would flow into a hole that goes right down to the Shisim underneath the Mizbeach. But in order for the wine to be able to collect on top of the Mizbeach and to be able to be swallowed by the Mizbeach, so to speak, in one gulp, they would first block the hole leading down to the Shisim. L'kayim ma'ashenema, in order to comply with what it says in the Pasuk, Bakoidesh haseich nesech sheichor l'ashem, that this pouring of the wine is compared to a pouring of an intoxicating which is, it's an item, wine is intoxicating, Lashem. That means there's something to do with Sheikhor, with Shikrus, with intoxication, which is trying to teach us something. My Mashma. What did Resh Lakish see in this Pasuk? That what part of this Pasuk taught Resh Lakish that you block up the entrance into the Shisim and wait till all the wine has poured out onto the top of the Mizbeach from the bowls, and then they would let it get swallowed up in one gulp? Omer of Papa, if Papa says, I'll explain to you where Resh Lakish got it from. From the word Sheikhor. When it says Sheikhor, is a Lashon of Siyah. Sheikhor, intoxication, refers to drinking. Lashon Tzviah, it refers to being satisfied. It could be Rashi had a girsa, Loshen Simcha, Loshen Shikrus, and it's a term of intoxication. And Rav Papa understood that Resh Lakish would learn from here that in order to get intoxicated, in order to have the benefits of the wine, all these benefits we mentioned, to have the benefits of the wine, then it's got to be gulped down in a single gulp and not in small sips. And Omer of Papa, Rav Papa says, Shema Minah, from the fact that Resh Lakish understood that Sheikhor, that the way to swallow any intoxication, any wine, any alcoholic beverages, the way to do that is by blocking up the Shisim, so to speak, and having a big gulp, we see from there that Kisova Inish Chamro, when people drink and want to be satisfied with wine, migrunyo sova, then they get satisfied from the throat. It's not about how much wine you have in your stomach with food, it's to do with the content. How much volume of food do you have in your stomach? That will determine how satisfied you are. But when it comes to drinking the wine, no. It depends on how you drank it. If you drink it in a single gulp, then you have all the benefits from the wine. And if not, then less. Omar Rava. Rava says, Tzurva Mirabonon, the Talmidei Chachomim, Deloi Nefisha Leichamra. He doesn't have a lot of wine, so from the little bit of wine he has, obviously he's learning Torah, and he's not making money to buy lots of wine. So how is he going to have the fullest benefit from the little bit of wine he's got? Ligma Gimua. He'll swallow it in gulps, and that way he'll have the most benefit from the little bit of wine he has. Rava, Akasa de Birchasa, Igma Gimua. Rava, when he would drink a koishel brocha, a cup of wine that he would make a brocha on, then he would swallow it in a single gulp, or in gulps. He wouldn't just sip it. Continues the Gemara. Dorash Rava. We learned before in the Pasuk explained that the Shisim were compared to Chamukei Yurei Chayich, Kamoi Chaloim, Maisi Yedei Omon. The Pasuk in Shir Hashirim. And now the Gemara is going back. Rav is going back to the beginning of that pasuk. Mayofu pa'amayich banolim bas nodiv, says the Gemara. Mayofu pa'amayich, how lovely are the steps banolim in sandals of bas nodiv, of the daughter of a noble. What does that mean? Says Rava. Mayofu, how lovely is pa'amoisehem shel Yisrael, are the steps of klal Yisrael, b'shor she'olim l'regel, when they're going up to the Beis Hamikdash v'aliyah l'regel. Bas Nodiv, Klal Yisrael in this pasuk are referred to the daughter of a noble person, is referring to Bitei Shel Avraham Avinu, the daughter of Avraham Avinu. Shenikra Nodiv, he was also called noble. Where was he called noble? Shenemar, it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, Nedivei Amim, the noble of the nations, Ne'esofu, they gathered, Am Elikei Avraham, the nation of the God of Avraham Avinu. Asks, and then the pasuk continues, Ki le'elukim magine eretz ma'id na'alo. So the Gemara asks, Elokei Avram, v'lo Elokei Yitzchok v'Yaakov. What does it mean that it's a nation, Elokei Avram? It's not more Elokei Avram than it's Elokei Yitzchok or Yaakov. Elo says the Gemara, Elokei Avram, when the Pasuk says, Nedive Amim Ne'esofu Am Elokei Avram, it's referring to this nation who are, there's something unique about the first one, the roots of this nation, which is Avram Avinu, Shahayot Tchilo Legerim. He was the first one who did a noble deed of graciously volunteering. Rashi says, "Shenodav liboy, nodvo liboy lahakir es boiroi." He went out of his way to search for the Creator, to search for Hashem, and he was the very first one. So he's referred to as, in context of Nedive Amim Ne'esofu, of the nobles. You see that Avraham Avinu is called noble. So when it says in the Pasuk in Shashirim, Bas Nodiv is referring to Klal Yisrael, who are, so to speak, the daughter of Avraham Avinu. Continues the Gemara, Tana Debei Rebbe Onon. Maidich Siv, this text says in the Pasuk, in this same Pasuk, Chamukei Yorei Chayich. And the Gemara is now assuming that this Pasuk is also referring to Torah. And the Gemara is now going to explain that. And when the Gemara said, Rashi explains that the beginning of the Pasuk, I mean, the Pasuk is going to say that Chamukei Yerichayich K'moi Chaloim Ma'isei Yudei Omon. So these Chaloim, these jewels, so to speak, are the Luchos, the two Luchos that we got at Sinai, which they were made of Avonim Tovis, of precious stones. And what is the Chamukei Yerichayich? Chamukei Yerichayich are the flanks, which are, we saw before already, the flanks are concealed there, they're hidden. So the Gemara is now saying that Lomo Nimshal or Divrei Torah, why are Divrei Torah compared to a Yerech, to the flanks? So the Gemara says, Lomo Lachot, to teach you that Ma Yerech Baseser, in the same way as flanks are typically not revealed, they're concealed, after Divrei Torah, so too, when it comes to learning Torah, then, and for the honor of Torah, it should be taught and learnt b'seiser in modest. It should be learned modestly in b'tznias. It shouldn't be out in the public. And Rashi brings, you shouldn't go to the tallest place of the town and teach Torah there, and you shouldn't go into the marketplace and just start giving a shiur there. It should be done with humility and concealed, similar to the Yorei Chaim. And the Gemara in other places in Shas explained why, because when one does it in a public place, it's more easier to get disturbed, and other reasons. V'hainu d'omer Rabbi Elazar. This is what Rabbi Elazar says. Ma'idich siv, it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Micha, Higid l'cha odom ma'toiv, that a person is going to tell you ma'toiv, what is good, and what does Hashem require from you? But to do justice, va'avas chesed, and to love kindness, va'tznei aleches im elikecho, and to go discreetly with Hashem. So the Gemara explains, what's asois mishpat? What does it mean to do justice? Ze'adin, that's to make sure that you have a law system. Va'avas chesed, what does it mean, the love of kindness? Zug milas chasodim, and this is to perform kind deeds to people. Vatznei aleches im elikecho, and to go discreetly with Hashem. What does that mean? Zu itzas hameis vachnosis kala luchupa, that when you're helping to take care of a deceased person, a levaya, or to chupa, to go to chasna chupa, vachnosis kala luchupa, and that should be done with modesty. With Vatznei Aleches. It means you're going to make a big Suda, you're going to make a big Chasna, make a Chasna with modesty. Make sure that the happiness doesn't get frivolous, it doesn't get out of hand. Everything should be done with modesty. And the same as when going to Levaya, not to cry too much, everything should be done in moderation. V'aloi Dvorim Kal V'chaymer, says the Gemara. Uma Dvorim Shedarkon Lasis B'farhesya. If things which naturally are done in public, for example, a levaya, for example, a chuppah, omra Torah, nonetheless, the Torah said, vatznei aleches, you should do it with discreetly. That means if you're, whatever you're contributing, you don't need to tell everybody, not everyone has to know, just do it, as we said, do it discreetly. than dvorim shadarkon lasis betzina, than things which are naturally lend themselves to be done more modestly and more secretly, like giving tzedakah, like learning Torah, alachas kama v'kama, even more so that one has to be careful, it should be done discreetly and modestly. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Elazar, Godoy lo oisa tzedaka, somebody who does tzedaka, who gives charity, who gives tzedaka, is greater, yoisa mikol ha-korbonis, even more than all the korbonis. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, in Mishli, asoi tzedaka u-mishpat, that you should do tzedaka u-mishpat, nivchor la-shem mizevach, that either doing tzedaka or following through with justice, with the law system, is preferable Hashem, nivchar Hashem, mizevach from zevach. And zevach includes all korbonis. That's what it says. If it says asoy tzedaka or mishpat is nivchar Hashem mitzevach, it must be that doing tzedaka is greater than all the korbonis. Another quote from Rebbe Elazar, v'amar Rebbe Elazar, g'doy lo gemilus chasadim, doing acts of kindness is greater, yoysa min tzedaka, is even more than tzedaka. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Ziru lochem litzdaka, you should sow for yourselves, tzdaka, litzdaka is for tzdaka, v'kitzru, and you should reap, l'fi chesed, the reaping, that means the sowing, is associated to tzdaka, but the reaping is associated to acts of kindness. And what is always more? So the Gemara is going to explain. That im odom zireya, when a person sows, when he plants, sofik eichel, sofik ein eichel, he doesn't know if it's going to grow. There's a certain risk element there. But odom koitzer, but somebody who's reaping, vadai eichel, then we can be absolutely certain that if he's got what to reap, he's got what to eat. So you see, there's an advantage of the reaping over the sowing. That's what it says, that the stocker is compared to sowing, but chesed is compared to reaping. When you do a chesed, it's greater even than tzedakah. Continues the Gemara. Another quote from Rebbe Elazar. Omer Rebbe Elazar, ein tzedakah mishtalemes elo lefi chesed shebo. The reward that a person gets, that means the level of tzedakah is rated by the amount of chesed, amount of kindness that was included when you gave the tzedakah. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, this very same Pasuk as we saw before, the Pasuk says, Ziru lochem letztaka. The tztaka is compared to sowing. Kitzru lefi chesed. And the katsira is chesed. That means the same way as what you reap from what you sow. That means whatever was successful, the amount of the success of the sowing is what leads to the reaping. So that's what it says, that the tztaka was the sowing. What are you going to reap from the tzedakah? What's the reward you're going to get from tzedakah? That's lefi chesed. The reaping is going to depend on how much kindness was involved when you were doing the tzedakah. And Rashi says here that when you're giving the tzedakah, then how much effort, just the giving itself, that's the tzedakah. The chesed is how much effort you went into giving it, into making it comfortable. And Rashi adds, did you just throw him some coins, which is its tzedaka? Or did you prepare him some nice bread? Did you prepare him some nice clothes? Like, how did you give him his needs? Did you go out of your way to it should be the best for the toiva, for the goodness of the oni? That's the chesed of the tzedaka. And that's what you're going to get your main reward for. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, b'shloisha dvarim gedoyla gmilas chesedim yoisa min tzedakah. In three aspects, the gmilas chesed, doing acts of kindness, is even greater than tzedakah. Because tzedakah is b'mamoinoi. Tzedakah is only done with one's money. You give tzedakah. However, gemilas chesedim, acts of kindness, is bein begufoi, bein b'mamoinoi. You do that either in person or with your property. You can do kindness with your body, and for example, going and giving a hesped, or going and making a chosn happy, or there's a lot that you can be doing with in person. However, the tzedakah you only do with your money, with your property. It means you can do tzedakah by lending him money, lending him your utensils, your animals, but that's only with your property. But Gemilas Chasadim is something you can even do in person. Continues the Gemara. That was the first thing. The second thing, tzedakah is la'aniyim. Giving charity is only to a poor person. You can't give a rich person tzedakah. Gemilas Chasadim, however, acts of kindness, bein la'aniyim, bein la'ashirim. That's even a kind, even a rich person, you sometimes have to do acts of kindness with him. The third thing, that tzedakah is l'chaim. Tzedakah can only be given to a live person. Can't give charity to a dead person. Gemilas chasadim, however, acts of kindness, bein l'chaim, bein l'meisim. Even for somebody who's not alive anymore, there's acts of kindness you can do, whether it's the hesped, whether it's the levaya, whether it's the kvura, the burial, whatever it's going to be, there's what to be done as a chesed for the dead person. Continues the Gemara. V'omer Rebbe Elazar, anyone that gives tzedakah and he does it with mishpat, he does it in the right way, it's as if he's filled the whole world with chesed, as it says in the pasuk, if you love tzedakah and you give it out into whoever to in a way that is right, then chesed Hashem mol ha'oret, then Hashem's kindness fills the whole land. Shema Toima, are you going to think, you're going to entertain the idea that Kol HaBor Likfa, it's Koifetz, anyone who wants to jump into giving tzedakah is going to be successful in giving tzedakah in a mishpat, in the right way, to the right person, to a poor person who needs it and deserves it? Talmud Leima, don't take that for granted. No, the Pasuk says, Mayokor Chazdech Elikim, that chesed is very precious and it's not easy to come by. And you need a certain amount of siyata dishmaya to be able to do chesed to the right people, to good people, to people who deserve it. And that's what it says, my yokor. Rashi explains, what does it mean that the chesed is so precious? So Rashi says that you have to give your heart, losses, leiv, v'litreach, and to put effort into it, v'lirdoif acharyan, to run after the chesed, l'fi she'eino matsuya tomid, liskris bolam hugonim. It's not so common, it's not all over the place that you can just do this chesed and it's going to land up in the right place. Tzedakah or chesed. That you have to really put effort into it in order that the tzedakah and the chesed should bear the fruits that you want it to. Continues the Gemara. Yochel af yirei shemayim kein. Are you going to think that even somebody who's got yirei shemayim, he also has to toil so hard to make sure that his chesed should hit target, it should be done right? Says the Gemara, no, Talmud loymar, that the Pasuk says, in Tehillim v'chesed Hashem me'oilom v'ad oilom al yireov, which means that the yireov, the people who have fear of Hashem, for those people, their chasodim will be good chasodim and will be done to the right people in the right way. Continues the Gemara of Omer Rebbe Elazar. May dechsev, this day says in a pasuk in Mishli, piha poscha, she opens her mouth b'chochma, with wisdom. The Torah's chesed and Torah of kindness, al-lashayna, is on her tongue. That's the pasuk in Mishli. Asks the Gemara, what does it mean, Torah's chesed? The Torah of kindness? V'chi yesh Torah shel chesed, v'yesh Torah she'ina shel chesed? Are there two Torahs, one of kindness and one not of kindness? Elo, says the Gemara, Torah lishma. If you're learning Torah for the sake of the Torah, Zui Torah shel chesed, then you're doing Torah, it's like doing a chesed, where you do it because you appreciate and you love the person you're doing it for. So if you're learning Torah because Torah so desperately needs us to learn it, that's called Torah lishma, for her sake, for the sake of Torah, that's Torah's chesed. Sheloi lishma, but if you're learning Torah not for the sake of Torah, you have other ulterior motives, Zui Torah she'eino shel chesed, that's Torah which is not so much done with chesed. Ikud Amra, others say, Torah lelamda, if you're learning Torah with the intent of teaching Torah, zui Torah shel chesed, that's a Torah of kindness. Sheloi lelamda, but if you're not intending to teach it, zui Torah she'eino shel chesed, then that is the Torah which is not considered Torah of chesed. Continues the Gemara, Kamaseu b'chol v'chulu. So this takes us to the last part of the Mishnah on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis that says that they would do the Nisuch HaMayim also on Shabbos, not only during the week. The one difference was that during the week they would be able to fetch the water every day and put it on the Mizbeach. On Shabbos you couldn't bring the water from the Shiloyach to Yerushalayim or to the Beis HaMikdash. So they would actually bring it to the Beis HaMikdash before Shabbos, but they would bring it in kelim that were not Hekdash. B'chovis shel zov she'eina mukudeshes. And then they would leave it till the next morning. You have to make sure it's covered. If it's Megula, we saw in the Mishnah, it's a problem. Make sure it's covered that no snake could put any poison in it. And as we discussed partially in the Mishnah, we're going to discuss it a bit more in a couple of moments. But you would bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and only on Shabbos morning, before pouring it, they would put it into a utensil that was Hekdash, and then they would pour it onto the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, asks the Gemara, V'amai, why do you have to fetch the water on Erev Shabbos in utensils which are not clay shoris, that are not Hekdash Kelim? Naisa b'mukudeshes, why don't you bring it with Hekdash Kelim? And at this point, the Gemara assumes that the only time, because what did we say? What was the problem? The problem was that if you're going to put the water into Kelim, which is a klisharis, then the water becomes Hekdash. Once the water becomes Hekdash, the rule is that overnight it becomes posel. It's called lina, posel belina, and then you can't use the water for the mizbeach. So at this point, the Gemara assumes that we have reason to believe that even were you to bring the water in Hekdash Kelim, it would not become Hekdash. And if it doesn't become Hekdash, there's no problem of Lina. Why do we assume that it's not going to become Hekdash? So the Gemara assumes that Klei Sharos only makes its contents Hekdash if it's Roy, if the contents are fit for the Klei Sharos. What does that mean? Number one, that you have intentions for the Klei Sharos to make the water into Hekdash, to make its contents Hekdash. And number two, it's got to be that the content is exactly as much as you need for that avoida that you're about to do. And if you bring in a clay shoris more content than you actually need for that avoida, as we saw, how much do they need here? We saw the machlekas before, whether it's one loig or three lugin, that we saw the machlekas earlier on, but you only need a certain amount. So the Gemara here assumes that since they brought in this jug more than the minimum amount that they need, if so, then you're bringing in too much. So the volume of and the measure of water that you're bringing in is more than you need. So if it's not the right measure, then the klisharos will not make it Hekdash. And if the klisharos won't make it Hekdash, there's no issue of lina. So why do you have to use a kli that's not a klisharos? That was the question of the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, Omar Ziri. Ziri says that the Mishnah assumed that kosova ein shiur lamaim, that there's no maximum amount of shiur. You can bring as much water as you want. It's true, we saw before, there's a minimum measure of water, but there's no maximum measure. So that means that as much as you bring is the right measure. So then that's not an issue. That would not stop it from becoming Hekdash. Ukli shoris mekachim shleimidas. And the Mishnah obviously held that a klisharis, just virtue of the fact that its contents is put into the klisharis, it's touching the klisharis. Rashi brings the pasuk kol hanogea behem yikdosh, as soon as the contents, assuming that it's fit for the avoida, is in the klisharis, whether you intended it that way or not, it becomes Hekdash. And since we assume that there's no maximum measure, as much as you put in is as much as you can use, and therefore the klisharis will make the water Hekdash, and therefore they had to avoid using a klisharis. V'imaisi b'mukudeshes, and if you were to use a Hekdash utensil, if sululu belina, then the water will become posel by waiting overnight. That's what Ziri understood. Chizki understood that klisharis ein mekachim elomidas. No, the truth is that the klisharis very well could be that it only makes something Hekdash if you want it to. And therefore, according to the letter of the law, you could have filled up this water with a klisharis and intended it not to make it Hekdash till the next morning, and there's no problem of lina, because since you didn't want it to become Hekdash earlier, it doesn't become Hekdash, and then it will not be posel belina. But nonetheless, they said, don't use a clay sharis. Why? People won't know that you intended or you didn't intend it to become Hekdash. They'll think, probably, if you filled it up with a clay sharis, you intended to become Hekdash. And everybody will know that you filled it up yesterday on Friday, and you're using it now on Shabbos morning. It's overnight. People are going to think that there's no problem of lina with this water. And that's a big challenge. So people are going to think that nesachim, that anything that gets poured on the mizbeach, there's no psulina. That would be tragic if people made that mistake. So to avoid that mistake, we said, don't use klei sharis, and everybody will then know and remember that the halachas of lina apply even to nesachim. Omer Rabbi Yanai, Omer Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yanai said in the name of Rabbi Zeira as follows. And what have we seen till now? The Gemara in the question held and assumed there were two reasons why this klei sharis should not make the water hektish. Number one, that in order for klei sharis to make it hektish, it has to be the exact measure of what you need for the avoida. And we assumed that there was an exact measure, which means that it's exactly the measure, the three loig that we need, it has to be no more than that. And when bringing it, the water in this klei sharis, there was more than that. That's one reason it shouldn't become hektish. And another reason is that it will only become hektish in a klei sharis if you want it to become hektish. And here we don't want it to become hektish. So based on both of those reasons, the Gemara asked, why does the Mishnah say you shouldn't take a klei sharis? So Ze'iri said that it's apparent from the Mishnah that both of those assumptions are incorrect. The Mishnah learns that number one, three loig is a minimum, not a maximum, and therefore however much you bring is included in the measure, and therefore it could become hektish. And number two, klei sharis makes something hektish even if you didn't want it to, and therefore it will become hektish. And therefore we say don't use a klei sharis. And then Chizkiah came along and says, no, you don't know from the Mishnah, you don't necessarily see from the Mishnah that a klei sharis can be makdish something, even shelo midas, even if you don't want it to. It could be that the truth is that klei sharis will only make something hegdish if you want it to. The problem here is that you don't know. People won't know if you wanted or didn't want it to become hegdish, and people will make a mistake, as we saw with Chizkiah. Reb Zeira is now saying, even were both parts, both facts in the beginning of the Gemara, in the question of the Gemara correct, even were it true that klei sharis is only mekadesh when it's bidas, and even were it true that the klei sharis, that there is a maximum shear, a maximum amount of water, and in this klei sharis you're bringing more than the maximum amount, and that's another reason why it should not make it hektish, even if you have two reasons to believe that it's not hektish, nonetheless don't use a klei sharis. Why? Afilo teima yeshi or lemaim, even if you say that there is a maximum amount for the water, and therefore the klei sharis ein mekachim elo medas, and also klei sharis will only make something hektish if you want it to, and nonetheless don't bring a klei sharis. Or gezeira shema yoimru, maybe people will say lekidush yudaim v'raglaim moron, just a few days ago was Yom Kippur, and they could be that they filled up this gold container with water for the pouring of the water onto the hands and feet of the Kohen Gadol. And regarding that water, when they filled it up, of course they wanted it to become hegdish. And over there, there's clearly no maximum amount. As much water as you pour, you can use to wash the hands and feet of the Kohen Gadol. So that water is definitely became hegdish and is definitely pasul now belina, because it's passed more than a day. It's already in Sukkos. So the fact that people would mistakenly think that the water in this jug is water that was filled up for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and they'll think that this is lina, and if they see you using this jug, they'll think that there's no issa, there's no psul of lina on the nesachim, and that we can't have. And therefore the Mishnah says, don't use a klei sharis. Continues the Gemara. The final statement in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Ches Omid Beis was that if the water that was collected for the Nisuch HaMayim was left open overnight, then you're not allowed to use it. And we explained in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says what they would do with it, they would fill up another jug with water from the Kiyur, because it's Shabbos, you can't go out to the Shiloyach. And we explained in the Mishnah what the problem was, as Rashi explained there, that the problem is that there might be some poison in it, and if there's poison in it, then you haven't got the right measure of water, of pure water, because it's now water diluted or with this poison in it, and that's an issue. Says the Gemara, Va'amai, if you're worried that there's poison in this water, le'avir b'masanenis, why don't you just pour the water through a sieve, through a strainer, and then you'll separate the poison, and you'll be left just with the water. So the Gemara is saying, Leima masnisin deloika Reb Nechemya. Can we assume that from the fact that the Mishnah doesn't allow us to do this, that the Mishnah's follower is not like Reb Nechemya? The Tani we learned in the Braisa, Mesanenes yesh boi mishum gilui. The Tanakhama say that even though the water's been through a strainer, there's still a problem of gilui. Omer Reb Nechemya, says Reb Nechemya, Emosai, when is that true? Bizman shatachtoina megula. The Mesanenes was a type of a utensil where the top part, there was an upper part, and then there was a sieve or a type of a strainer, and then there was the lower part of the water. So Ibn Chemia says, the Tanakhama say that whenever any part of this water that was left open overnight is possible. Ibn Chemia says, and we're not here really talking about whether it's possible to drink, with possible favoida, we're talking about whether you're allowed to drink it or not, whether we have to be afraid that there's poison in it. So Ibn Chemia says, Emosai bizman shatachtoina megula. That's only if the lower container was left open and the snake could have put its poison in it. Aval bizman shatachtoina mechusa, afal pi she'elyoina megula, ein bo mishum gilui. But if the upper one was left open and the lower container was, or the lower level of the water was closed, then ein bo mishum gilu, you're allowed to drink it. Mipnei sha'eres nochosh, because the venom, the poison of the snake is doimel esfoig, is similar to a sponge. Shetzof v'oimed b'mkoimoy, it floats and stands in its place. And since the lower part of the water or the wine was left uncovered, if the lower part was left uncovered, it doesn't help that there was a filter of some sort, a strainer, in between the top level and the bottom level, because the snake could have put its poison into the bottom level. But if the bottom level was covered and there was a strainer between the top level and the bottom level, the poison cannot go through the strainer and it just stays on the upper level, then you're allowed to drink the wine or water from the lower level. So the Gemara now says that So what we're saying here, there's a machlokes tanoim, whether a strainer helps for the poison. Now, according to Tanakhama, Tanakhama says that mesanenes yeshbo mishum gilui. Tanakhama says it doesn't help. The poison can go straight through the strainer. Reb Nechemya says no. Reb Nechemya says that it cannot go through. So our Mishnah that says that we're afraid that the snake puts some poison into the wine and there's an issue with it, that, and we obviously can't use the strainer, otherwise the Mishnah would have said, just sieve it, just strain it. So it would seem the Gemara is asking, on suggesting, it's not like Reb Nechemya. Answers the Gemara, no. Emer de Omer Reb Nechemya lehedyot. Reb Nechemya was talking about just a simple person, a private person, to drink the wine. Are we afraid that it's poisoned or not? Reb Nechemya says that it's okay. You can, as long as you can sieve it, and the poison will not penetrate through the sieve, through the strainer, and you can drink it. Avol gavoya, but for hegdish, mi Omer, who says that in that case Reb Nechemya would say it's okay? Velesli Reb Nechemya. Does Reb Nechemya not hold of what it says in the following pasuk, a pasuk in Malachi, where the pasuk says, "Hakriveyu no lepechosecho, hayirtzecho oy hayisa ponecho omar shem tzvokis," which means, "Would you present such a type of offering to a lepechosecho, which is to a governor, hayirtzecho? Will he be happy? And, you know, will he be pleased with such a type of a gift, or ayisa ponecho, is he going to show favor on Hashem tzvakis?" And we learn from this pasuk, because the pasuk is talking about offering up an animal that's sick. The pasuk says, "V'chitagishon iver lizboyach ein ra v'chitasigu piseach v'chayle ein ra." Do you think there's nothing wrong with offering up on the mizbeach an animal that's inappropriate, an animal that's sick? And even if it's kosher, but is it appropriate? And then the pasuk says, would you give this to a governor, to a prestigious person? You think he's going to find favor? You're going to find favor in his eyes if that's what you do. So here also, it's true that technically, according to Reb Yirmiyah, you could sieve the poison out of this water. But is it appropriate to pour this water onto the mizbeach as a korban? It's inappropriate. It's repulsive. And therefore, even Reb Yirmiyah would agree not to use it. And Tosfos before in Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis says that this, that Rashi and the Mishnah explained, that the reason you can't use this water is because there's an issue with the amount of water you've got, and that it's not 100% diluted. All that is only according to the opinion that it's not in the Maskona. At the beginning, when the Gemara thought here that it's all to do with, is the poison in there still? Is the poison not in there? We can understand there's an issue with it, according to the Tanna Kamma, that you can't sieve it. If you can't sieve it, you've got a problem that there's water and with poison diluted inside it. But once we see in the Maskona that the reason you can't use it is because it's inappropriate, not because the venom, because the poison is still there, in which case the explanation that Rashi gives would not be necessary, and the real reason that you have to not use this water and replace it with water from the kir is because of this pasuk of Hakriveu Nol Pechosecho. Hadron Aloch Lulav Harava, B'siyata Deshmai, we finished learning Perek Lulav Harava. In Mirtz Hashem, we're going to do Chazorah on Perek Lulav Harava, and the next Shem, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to start the fifth and final Perek of Masechah Sukkah, Perek HaCholil.